This is the Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Bear at the Boy Wonder on Mondays and Fridays, and Jim Fetzer usually here the middle 3 days of the week. I am Morgan Reynolds. I'm sitting in for Jim today, and I think I've got a most exciting show with two guests who will be sharing the microphone. The first is Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer and leading 9/11 researcher, and the second is John Hutchison, a Canadian, a scientist, hobbyist, inventor, famed for the Hutchison effect, or sometimes described as an anti-gravity anomaly. Dr. Wood has 3 degrees in engineering from Virginia Tech, and I couldn't help but think of that tragedy last April where we learned of the murder of 33 students at Blacksburg, Virginia, and it's called the deadliest shooting rampage in U.S. history. Dr. Wood has a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering with a specialty in structural, 1981. She has a Master's of Science in Engineering Mechanics and a Ph.D. in Materials Engineering Science from the Department of Engineering Science and Mechanics in 92, all from Virginia Tech. And I want to describe some of these, we'll call it, quote, coincidences, unquote, where the bulk of these, 31 of these student deaths or murders occurred in Norris Hall, which is a science and engineering classroom building where Dr. Wood had the majority of her classes during her student days. And not only that, one of her students from Clemson was murdered in March 2006 in Minneapolis under strange circumstances. She had a graduate assistant in that same time frame who had his apartment burned, and I guess part of the building burned down. And then in the 1980s, I don't know what year it was, 1986, I'm guessing, Dr. Wood, you were run over by a truck deliberately while bicycling, nearly lost her life. And the other events here, death, here we had Jean Malov, a journalist who specialized in energy, free energy in particular, so-called. He published a book, Fire from Ice, in 1991. He was murdered under strange circumstances in 2004. We had then, his work is being carried on by a fellow by the name of Bill Zeber, who, ironically, is Michael Zeber's uncle, took over the Infinite Energy magazine and the foundation's work. So how strange is all this? Judy is a brilliant engineer scientist that we're in so much in her debt for her work at the mysteries being solved at the World Trade Center about what really happened. And there's been these suspicious deaths surrounding you, Judy. What in the world is going on?
I don't know, and not something within my control, so I don't worry about it.
But you are one courageous person. I mean, this is not for the timid, is it, this work on 9/11?
No, but it's something that needs to be done.
Yes. Oh, boy, am I in agreement with you there. Well, before the show, I'm so interested in the personal aspects here, the biography issue. So I looked at Wikipedia for not always a reliable source, we know, but nonetheless, I looked at it for John Hutchison, what they had to say about his work and his biography to the extent they had any. They didn't have much, but they had some material about his work. And I looked at mine. And they had some brief stuff there about Morgan Reynolds, including some 9/11 stuff, where they mentioned your name in that we both filed these requests for correction with NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, to criticize their work on the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers destruction. So you were mentioned, but it didn't show up in the search engine. So then I looked for your biography. Now, where's your biography at the Wikipedia? You're such an important, prominent 9/11 researcher.
Isn't that interesting?
Judy has a friend who's active on 9/11 who says that Judy Wood is the holy water. She's the real test of somebody's real knowledge and intent on 9/11.
If you want to know if someone's a vampire, it's like holy water, ask them.
So, let's go to some... John wasn't immediately available, but I think we'll pick him up in this conversation in one of these segments that follows.
Is he online?
No, we haven't been able to get him yet, but of course we hope to along the way.
He had rescheduled something to 3 p.m. From 2 p.m.
Yeah, that was specific, so we had a... It was rescheduled. We shouldn't have had a conflict then, perhaps.
He was going to try switching back, so I don't know where it stands.
Now, the reason that we're trying to have both Dr. Wood and John Hutchison on at the same time is that they have collaborated in some important new work that helps us understand what happened in much greater detail and with experimental evidence alongside. Help prove what happened, if you will, at the World Trade Center. Now, what's in terms of the data from the World Trade Center, what to you, Judy, is the most important data, or at least in the top three, that people should understand in terms of what happened there?
Dustification.
I noticed that Andrew Johnson calls it powderization. That's a pretty good word, too. Pulverization doesn't really do it justice, does it?
Maybe not, but the issue is that we don't need to know the exact mechanism to see with our eyes that the building is no longer there and there's a bunch of dust blowing around. In the wind.
And where is the debris? Speaking of Wikipedia, I have a that for if you go to 9/11 or the Twin Towers and you see a couple of the photos they have. They had one I hadn't seen before. I'll bet you had though, where an FDNY firefighter, we see his back and he's looking between two buildings on either side. Now I'm trying to recall. Oh, it was Bankers Trust was the building on the left, and then you see those. 8 or 10 stories of one of the remaining walls there from the South Tower. Mm-hmm. And you look across, and there's not one story of debris. So where did these towers go?
Dust in the wind.
Blowing in the wind. And it was fairly substantial there, blowing south, southeast that day?
Yes.
And that's related to the airplane controversy, too, because that's my number one question. Where is the airplane debris? And in this case, we're asking, where's the debris? Where are all those floors, 110 floors from each of the Twin Towers? And they're just not there. So the buildings, as you say, mostly went up rather than down. Okay, I hear the Beatles ushering us off stage temporarily, and we will resume our conversation with Dr. Judy Wood on the other side of the break. I am Morgan Reynolds. I'm sitting in for Jim today, and I have my first guest, Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer and leading physical scientist on 9/11, in my opinion, and that of Jim Fetzer, I know as well. And we hope to be joined in a bit by John Hutchison, famous for the Hutchison effect, a Canadian scientist inventor, or so-called anti-gravity effect. Judy, would you like to go to what we call the JJ article or series and have... listeners who are at a computer follow along, or at least I'll follow along.
Okay. Has GCN tried contacting?
Yes, at the top of the hour, outside of the show, and we're going to have Alex retry. And I hope to catch him at the beginning of the next segment, bottom of the hour.
Okay. Yeah, so the beginning of the next hour, I think he has to go he has an appointment.
Well, no problem either way. It'll be nice if we catch him, but if not, we've still got a lot of information here to convey.
Okay. So if you go to drjudywood.com, that's drjudywood.com, at the top of the news section, there's some links for the day, but right above the news section, lots of pictures, there's a link that says anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison effect.
Okay.
If you click on the first column, it looks like a boat in water, and then right below it is a police car that's flipped upside down, or you can click on the title bar.
Okay, I clicked on the title bar. Okay, now I'm back at the home page. Index is the first column?
Right.
Okay.
And on that page, there's a video, and then there's the index for the series. But if you scroll down, you can see pictures. On the left are some of John Hutchison's pictures of the Hutchison effect.
Mm-hmm.
And column is anomalies that I have noticed at the World Trade Center.
Okay, so that sets the big picture here. The big picture is that you have discovered these, call it anomalous effects, all of these telltale signs of what happened or effects at the World Trade Center on 9/11. And then John Hutchison, quite independently, has done a series of experiments whose effects seem anomalous or unusual and are overlap or have similarities to what happened at the World Trade Center on the morning of 9/11?
Yes. I have independently been gathering all the evidence of just what I see is, you know, what happened. And then after doing that, I came upon the Hutchison effect and realized it's a perfect match.
Really? We've got a 1.0 correlation here. Now, for example, one of them, just to give our listeners a tease at the top, is we have flipped cars at the World Trade Center or around the World Trade Center. Flipped, just upside down.
And what is fascinating about that is they're sitting next to trees that are fully covered with leaves.
So that tends to eliminate the big wind explanation for overturning a car?
Right. That if there was such a big gust of wind, why are the leaves still on the trees?
I think that's hard to explain with a wind.
And
so something else was going on.
Right. And also, if you notice all the buildings with holes in the windows,
yes.
As I put it, there's no stab wounds in the outer surface of the building, you know, the majority of the building. There was one or two here and there, but...
Which building?
Oh, WSC2, as well as the Millennium Hotel. Now, on this page that I brought us to, at the bottom, there's a picture, the bottom of that table, there's a picture of the Millennium Hotel with holes in the windows. And the picture...
Is that at the bottom of the index page?
Of the table of pictures.
Okay, yes. The round holes in...
Yes. The first picture on the right is from One Liberty Plaza looking out across WTC4. And if you look closely, you know, blow up that picture, there's round holes in those windows.
round holes in glass windows.
In the Millennium Hotel picture right below that one, you've got holes in windows. There's no stab wounds of, you know, did we check stabbing through the building? There's just these holes in the windows.
There's roundish like holes in these hotel windows. And they're, let's see, they're due east of the fronting the World Trade Center, the Millennium Hotel.
Right, across the street from WTC 5 and WTC 4.
Right. Have you ever seen glass windows with holes that are rounded?
Not like that. Even when a bullet goes through a window, it makes a round hole. It's conical shaped, and it's got a little bit of a starburst pattern around it. Baseballs, as we all know, make big spiderweb-looking breaks from the middle outward.
Yeah, it has a shattered look.
And it's interesting that they first said that the Millennium Hotel was very badly damaged. And looking at the pictures of it, it just has broken windows.
And it's still in operation today, right?
Yes. But why did they say it was severely damaged?
When it wasn't.
Correct.
Is that supposed to be a fog of war type confusion, or do you think there's some deliberate attempt to mislead?
Talk about it after the break.
Okay, more anomalous effects at the World Trade Center that seem to be accounted for by Hutchison effect. The Hutchison effect, and we hope to get the famous John Hutchison from Canada to join our conversation soon. I am your guest host today, sitting in for Jim Morgan Reynolds, and with me I have Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer and leading physical scientist researcher on 9/11. And we hope to have John Hutchison from Canada, and famous for the Hutchison effect, join us. And before the break, Dr. Wood, Judy, was taking us to her website, which is Dr. Judy. Okay, welcome back to the Dynamic Duo. We had technical difficulties here. This is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host today, sitting in for Jim Fetzer on the Dynamic Duo, where you can catch Kevin Barrett on Mondays and Fridays. And I am interviewing Dr. Judy Wood, a PhD engineer and leading 9/11 researcher. And we hope to be joined shortly by John Hutchison, a Canadian inventor and scientist, famous for the Hutchison effect. Dr. Wood, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. We had a problem, but we're back, I guess, in full strength. Before the break, you were discussing a new article, which is co-authored with John Hutchison on your website, drjudywood.com. And it's the third major article whose title was, Anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison Effect. And we briefly discussed the flipped cars, but we left with these roundish holes in windows, which are extremely unusual, and no one else has really brought them under discussion that I know of publicly, much less attempted to explain this effect. And you're doing both. I gather this is part of the Hutchison effect.
It's consistent with the Hutchison effect. What we could do is go to the first page of the series. We're on the index. If you're on my homepage, you can go down to where the big row of pictures are and go to the second column where it says list and disruption.
Okay. Or I can do it right here at the top of this page.
Right.
Lift and disruption. Okay, we'll go there.
Yes. And it starts out showing a picture of a boat, or a video of a boat, with this is one of John's videos, showing the Hutchison effect, and we see fire around the boat, which is interesting.
And this is a warship, a large metal model?
Yes, it's aluminum.
Oh, it's aluminum.
And what's burning? And you see it, you know, catch fire.
Okay, if you make this video go, you'll see these little outbursts of flame around this boat. And this boat is in regular tap water?
Yes. And the irregular water surface is the water being levitated and falling back down.
Okay, so it's dancing a bit on the surface.
Correct. What I found interesting in this is that this is consistent with the toasted cars, where we had these anomalous fires that just broke out. It seemed to be cold fires, not hot fires, where the cars just were bursting into flames for no reason at all, and the paper next to the cars did not burst into flames.
Yeah, you'd see dense office paper around fires, and it wasn't catching fire. The paper wasn't, and yet you could have engine blocks on fire.
And it turns out that that is a typical thing you see with the Hutchison effect.
This is scary, isn't it? Now, I hope we get John in this conversation, but according to this Wikipedia account, John started experimenting in 1979 trying to reproduce Tesla effects, and he's been at it for quite a while. And in 1983, wasn't it some military people from the U.S. and or Canada interviewed him?
Yes, they came to his lab for 4 months and videotaped what he was doing.
4 months?
4 months.
So, in other words, for an extended period of time, they were watching him work and recording it?
Yes, from Los Alamos, from the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's very contrary. Why would they be this interested? They must have thought there was something really going on here. By contrast, the biography that Wikipedia has really smacks down John and the Hutchison effect by saying nobody else has been able to reproduce it like at the Max Planck Institute. Even it's claimed by one of his John's intellectual enemies. What is the guy's name? His name is Mark Millis, formerly of NASA. Millis says, in fact, its originator, John Hutchison, can't even replicate it on demand. This has been investigated more than once, been part of documentaries, but never seems to pass critical muster. This is in the category of folklore. So that's kind of an establishment spokesperson downing this. And yet back in 1983, it's obvious that some military people were taking it very seriously.
Taking notes.
Yes. That's contrary to what the Wikipedia is trying to down this whole Hutchison effect and claim it's not there and nobody can replicate it.
And we even see it in the videos. It's hard to... How do you explain water bouncing up off the surface?
Yeah, I mean, it's excited by something or other, playing with it.
Let's look at figure 8 on this page.
Okay, we'll go to figure 8 on this page. Come on. Get my arrow here to operate. Ah, here come the Beatles back. Let's see, figure, I see an 8-point eye. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. And that vehicle in back that's upside down looks like a very substantial truck, doesn't it? Figure 8. Okay, we'll be back after the break with more from Dr. Judy Wood. Today, you have Morgan Reynolds as your guest host sitting in for Jim. And today I have as my special guest Dr. Judy Wood, who is a PhD engineer, former Clemson engineer professor, and leading 9/11 researcher. And we hope to be joined by John Hutchison, a Canadian inventor, a scientist who is famous for the Hutchison effect. And before we go back to discussing Judy Wood and John Hutchison's co-authored work, I wanted to give you a little excerpt from Wikipedia and their biography of John Hutchison. And they say that Hutchison refers to several of these phenomena jointly under the name the Hutchison effect, including one, levitation of heavy objects, two, fusion of dissimilar materials such as metal and wood, three, the anomalous heating of metals without burning adjacent material, which is what we were just talking about before the break. Number four, the spontaneous fracturing of metal. Five, changes in the crystalline structure and physical property of metals. And six, disappearance of metal samples. The one that we don't have on that list was roundish holes. We had discussed that earlier, roundish holes appearing in window glass. So if we go back to drjudywood.com and the anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison effect article, we are on page one, Dr. Wood.
And on figure eight, we see this upside-down car very near the pedestrian bridge. And just beyond the bridge, we see trees fully covered with leaves, and an upside-down vehicle in front of the trees as well.
Right, and there's rich foliage in the background. It doesn't look like a leaf has been mussed or dropped.
Right, and so why is the vehicle upside down? And that vehicle in the foreground that's upside down doesn't appear at all damaged underneath.
No, it looks pretty good. It's got a light coating of dust, it would appear.
Another thing, which is stated above, is with the Hutchison effect, you get either disruption or lift.
Disruption or lift. So lift can account for these upside-down vehicles here.
And they don't look too disrupted. They don't look disintegrated.
No, they don't. That truck upside down would appear to be a truck that's got some big tires and kind of industrial looking surfaces. It's not a car. That one doesn't appear to be disrupted in any way, and certainly not the car in the foreground.
It looks like it's just upside down, and there's other pictures of cars like that too. And one in particular, in figure 9, in the distance, you see an ambulance on its side. You click on the picture and it gets larger. You can see that it's a perfectly good-looking ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So some of these vehicles are on their side, some are upside down.
But notice just to the right in that picture, you see fire truck 113. It's very toasted-looking.
And where toasted mean it's terminally ill.
Yes, history. It's and if you look at figure 11 and 12, what is interesting there is in figure 12, we have an upside-down police car on Church Street in Cortland. And that's right in front of the building adjacent to the Millennium.
Okay, it's just north of the Millennium?
It's just south of the Millennium.
Just south.
In figure 11, if you look down at that's the Millennium, that tall building, and you're looking down on Church Street, and you can see the entrance to the Millennium.
Yes.
And you can see to one side of that entrance. And the building to the right of that is the Century 21 building. The upside-down police car is in front of that building.
Oh, okay. And there's a subway entrance there.
Correct.
Okay.
And note in figure 13, the trees, how close they are to that walkway, and they're right in front of the Millennium. As you scroll down a little bit further, there are a lot of pictures taken right in front of the millennium, right after one of the towers went poof.
Yes.
And you see these folks walking out from the front of the millennium with a tree in the background in figure 16.
Right, that tree still looks healthy.
All the leaves still on it.
Right.
You don't see any big pieces of metal or anything on the ground. And figure 15, that picture is taken a week after 9/11. And you just have a few windows missing in that building. And you can see that the leaves are still all on the trees.
Yes, they are.
So why are these windows missing? And is
I guess people would say that was just some from flying debris from one of the WTC buildings that was destroyed.
It just happened to go through the windows.
Right, but I wonder if there is any debris per se on the other side of these windows in the interior of the hotel. You'd have to have that to prove that some kind of kinetic energy object went through there, right?
There's some of those that are broken without appearing to have a through hole. And then there's this white haze around the front of it. But this doesn't look like it's, seriously or catastrophically ruined.
No, not by any means. Mm-hmm.
And look at the picture in figure 17, taken 3 days after picture in figure 15.
Right. Looks like they stripped all that surface material, mostly glass, away.
And you can see over on the right, it appears that you have fuming coming out of that building.
That's in figure 17?
Yes, on the right side, under where it might be Millennium and Hilton.
Yeah, there's like four open windows in a row that seems to be fuming, even in the small version of the photo.
And beyond, over to the other side. So figure 18 is over there on that other side, and this picture was taken before figure 21, where the windows were still there, and you notice this strange breakage pattern in the windows.
It really is. It's so, what should we say? It's out of this world. It's just so weird.
How do you get little, small, they're not necessarily round, but some are round, like on the first floor just to the right of, between the last two flagpoles on the right. If you go to the bottom and start at the right and go back to where it's the solid part between windows, you see round holes with solid material behind it. As though the hole is just melted in there.
Now, what does John Hutchison have any impact on glass, per se, or is it on metal materials?
He's also seen it with glass, and he said this is a characteristic of a longitudinal wave. And he has also done glass, and he told me, before he even saw these pictures, he said, oh, but it usually turns the glass white.
Kidding. Which is just what we have in figure 18. It's very dramatic. The glass appears whitish, and then it has the, even where the overall hole looks kind of square, rectangular, it's roundish, many of them. Just very, it looks like a dead ringer for a Hutchison effect. Okay, we will be back with Dr. Judy Wood, and maybe we'll get John on the next segment of our program, The Dynamic Duo. I am Morgan Reynolds. I'm sitting in for Jim today, so I am guest host. And I have as a guest Dr. Judy Wood, PhD engineer and a leading 9/11 researcher. And we hope eventually, but we don't have him yet, to have John Hutchison, a Canadian scientist famous for the Hutchison effect, or sometimes termed an anti-gravity effect. Okay, Judy, we were on your website, drjudywood.com, and if you go to the article, click on the article, the third major article listed, on her homepage. It's Anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison Effect. And we are looking at a lot of these strange effects, what happened at the World Trade Center on the morning of 9/11 that Dr. Wood has uncovered. And it seems like they match up well with John Hutchison's experiments. Also, they produce similar effects. And Judy, I noticed while we were on the break there that I was looking at Figure 20A, which shows some of these windows in WFC buildings, similar, although more, a greater number of them than at the Millennium Hotel, also with some roundish-looking holes. One of them there in Figure 20D is really dramatic to me. Really looks like a circle with a little right a projection to it.
Yeah, a little splinter.
Yeah, a splinter. Yeah, you've got, in 20C, you've got that one circled, you know, south central in the picture. So where, what should we look at next?
Well, it's the odd thing is, in this picture, WFC2 doesn't have any other damage to the front, just the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth
so it's hard to believe that it was solid debris, like steel, that made these holes and windows alone.
It just missed the facade.
Right.
Every window.
Yeah, so that can't be. It can't be these solid objects, these steel in particular.
Well, the next section talks about the Casimir force, which is the force that attracts molecules and atoms. And they found a way to reverse that force, to flip it the other direction so it repels.
Mm. So that would be the disruption of material.
On a small scale. On a large scale, it could mean levitation.
Okay. So that would be a lesser Casimir effect you would...
Not necessarily lesser. It's if you have one part glued down, the whole thing can't lift off. So instead, it comes apart.
Oh, okay.
If it's capable of lifting off, maybe that's what it does. Consistent with these flip cars that we saw, the flip cars didn't seem to be toasted.
Just yes. Not like those that were just unmoved.
And this direction block.
Now, really, a lot of this work... it's not well understood because isn't a lot of this, the Hutchison effect, dismissed by mainstream or respectable establishment science? And I noticed that the Wikipedia account of John Hutchison says, oh, these are fringe researchers. So
yeah.
we don't understand some of these effects the way we might believe we... do in centuries-old mainstream science.
Right. I think it's important to notice what we see. We may not have an explanation for it, but we know it happened.
Right. Yeah, that's the first order of business. What happened?
And if we scroll down a little bit further, you see some close-up pictures of that boat with the water flying up around it, levitating.
Okay, in the video again?
Yeah, but below the video, you see still photographs, and you see the water droplets rising up.
Yes, certainly do.
How do you do that with a wire?
A magic wire.
A single molecule of water?
This is a bubble bath where the bubbles are in the air.
Yep. And if you keep pulling the water into smaller and smaller particles, you get foam.
Okay, and is that foam the conventional foam we know?
Just water super agitated.
It's agitated water, but it's still water molecules, right?
Right. And probably after a while it would settle out and they would turn into, you know, whole large smooth water pieces again. But this is just a whole lot of little pieces of water, whatever you want to call them. finer and finer. It's broken down. You get a cup of water, cut it in half, get another cup of water, get the half a cup, pull that apart in half, and keep pulling the water in half, and what do you get? Foam.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look just below there, there's some video clips, like figure 39, of what we saw at the World Trade Center.
That is dramatic. It's powerful, isn't it? How anybody can talk about a collapse after watching this, one clip, it's absurd.
The steel foamed up. It's like all of the particles in the steel suddenly began repelling each other. And where I first started realizing about the Hutchison effect was that looking at water turning into steam, it expands in a volume about 1,600 times in volume.
But it's still water molecules.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very small particles when it turns to steam. And you look at these pictures of the World Trade Center, and they look just the same, like the steel is expanding in a volume of 1,600 times or so. So what would cause the steel to suddenly, instead of the little molecules being attracted to each other, they suddenly repel each other?
And you can see in this clip, there are some solid pieces of steel here at the lead of these plumes coming out.
Yeah.
But it's disappearing, it's turning it to dust.
They don't ever hit the ground.
They don't ever hit the ground. So it's not only just the building pulling itself apart, it's the materials in the building here, the steel in particular. It wasn't just the concrete turning to dust, as so many people seem to claim that the concrete could be dustified. They could believe that.
It's everything.
It's virtually everything. And, hey, this to turn to the human side, of course, they haven't recovered any remains for some 1,500 of the missing at the World Trade Center.
Everything was pulled apart and gone, destroyed.
There was only, I think in this article on your web site, you may have the file cabinet photo. There was only one piece of a file cabinet recovered between all the two twin towers. It's just utter devastation, missing, most everything missing. Well, we will be back with more conversation about what happened at the World Trade Center with Dr. Judy Wood when we return after the break. I am your guest host, Morgan Reynolds, and today I'm visiting with Dr. Judy Wood about her new article, which is called Anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison Effect. And Dr. Wood, as many listeners know, has done amazing work in finding out what the data are at the World Trade Center and the incredible odd forms of destruction at the World Trade Center on the morning of 9/11. And as she further developed her work, she found that, well, some of these effects seem similar to so-called Hutchison effects. Okay, Dr. Wood, Judy, we were looking at figure 39 here, which is a repeating video clip on the WTC. And I like your analogy here between water hitting molten metal or something really hot and turning to steam, which is expands water some 1,600 times, and it's rather much like what we see in this video clip of one of the twin towers self-destructing, apparently.
I wouldn't say molten metal. You just put water in a teapot. When water turns to steam, it expands in volume by 1,600 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it does. The molecules have to expand and move away from each other. Now, if you have molten metal and you have water on it, they expand mighty fast and you get an explosion.
Right.
And this is a type of explosion where it seems like every molecule is almost repelling each other. It's not really an explosion in the conventional sense. But
can we call that, without too much fear of correction, molecular dissociation, or is dissociation, does that imply that the individual molecules are breaking up?
I think it's both, the individual molecules as well as the, within the molecules.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look right below that and you see the transmutation and rustification, I call it,
Okay, and the picture's below. And I should tell the listeners that we are referring to a web page here. We're at drjudywood.com. And then if you go to Anomalies, the article, which is the third major title on our homepage, click on that. It's called Anomalies at the World Trade Center and the Hutchison Effect. And we are on, Judy, I guess it's page one. And we're about two-thirds of the way down the page here at figure 39, and we're going to 41?
Yeah, 41. And if you look, there's a lot of rust there. How could these vehicles and steel just instantly rust? For example, figure 42, which is one of the NIST photos on the NIST site, you have just... like 100% of the surface is rusted. It's as though this piece of steel were sitting at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years.
I know. You know, I'm a car guy, and figure 41, that's just impossible by any kind of normal means, because that sheet metal that they use in these cars is galvanized, all these modern cars. It's almost they're rusting them in a day or a week. It's impossible. Well, it's possible because we see it, but something extraordinary had to produce this effect.
Guess what? The Hutchison effect will cause stainless steel to rust.
Wow.
Instantly.
So, yeah, that's a smoking gun comparison here for me. That's powerful. There's no other... Of course, like I say, repeatedly, I can say at each turn here, you're the one who's brought these effects to our attention. And since you're the only one, nobody else has made any attempt to scientifically explain these data. And now you come, hey, it's a Hutchison effect. It's a Hutchison-like effect.
Yeah,
and there's no competition so far.
I didn't know what... cause these various phenomena, but I just categorize them like the peeling effect on the sides of the toasted cars.
Yeah, and the delamination, if you will, even though they weren't any laminates.
And the Hutchison effect causes aluminum to split from within and other metals. But here on this page, we're at a figure 45, 46, and 47.
Yes.
This is stainless steel. It's amazing, the corrosion on it. And you
it
have
is. Mm-hmm.
Copper color corrosion. How's that happening?
Yeah, some of it looks like it's an oxide, rusty, a little bit, but a lot of it looks whitish, that corrosion.
But it goes deep inside. It's as though this has been sitting at the bottom of the ocean for... 100 years, but more so than that, stainless steel has carbon atoms and other little, additions to the mix that keep it from rusting, that really reduce the rust. And steel, the difference between steel and iron is just like that. There's carbon added to it and some other small additions that protect it from rusting or really slow down the rust, and that's why they build buildings out of structural steel.
Right, yeah.
It's rust resistant. So
steel is typically, what, over 90% iron, and then there are these ingredients, the principal one being carbon, that makes it steel.
Correct. So how can you get steel rusting like iron?
Here again, something very unusual happened, didn't it?
I think of this effect of molecular dissociation as musical chairs. The music starts playing, and the atoms get up and move around and let go and change positions. The music stops, and they have to grab onto something.
Right.
And I think the carbon lost its chair.
That's got to be true. In other words, hey, it reminds me of Steve and Earl Jones and some others who referred to the structural steel at the WTC as being iron.
And as well as the NIST report and some other studies, they've made that slip calling the iron beams that build the buildings.
Now, is that kind of an intentional psyop to convince us that it's rusting because it's iron and iron rusts?
I believe so.
Very interesting. You're listening to The Dynamic Duo, and we will return with our guest, Dr. Judy Wood, after the break. I am your guest host, Morgan Wells, and I'm having a conversation with Dr. Judy Wood, a leading researcher on 9/11, and I believe the leading physical scientist researcher on 9/11. And she is a PhD engineer and former professor of mechanical engineering at Clemson University. We were going to be joined by John Hutchison, but we can't reach him, the well-known Canadian inventor scientist who is famous for the Hutchison effect. And that Hutchison effect, which is a series of effects that are anomalous, play an important role in this article we are reviewing with Dr. Judy Wood, a new article on 9/11, an extensive piece with lots of pictures. So you can enjoy it and absorb it, lots of visuals. And we are on Dr. Judy Wood's website, drjudywood.com. And if you go to the third major article, Anomalies at the WTC and the Hutchison Effect, click on that. And we are on page one. I'd call it page two in a sense because it follows the index page. But we are on page one, and we were looking at figures 45 through 47, which is a result of a Hutchison experiment where stainless steel corrodes and rusts in fairly rapid order, and that's very odd. And so, Judy, back to you. What should we look at?
We can look just glance further down that page, and we have the hazmat vehicle in front of Building 6. And figure 56?
Yes. Figure 56, yes.
If you look at the picture directly below that, figure 58, you see any similarities?
Yeah, it's remarkable. This is an energy drink can?
Yeah.
And the effects are very similar to what this big van, this hazmat truck, looks like. The walls on this van are very much like the can, with the holes in it, and some kind of grayish discoloration on the solid covering that remains.
Yep, toasted metal. And if you look around on the drink can around that hole, you see a brownish color of toasted aluminum.
Yes.
And I've noticed that same color in my vacuum chamber when I'm evaporating aluminum. If the pressure isn't low enough and if the environmental conditions aren't quite right, it's sort of like it's almost evaporating but not quite. And it's almost coming apart, not quite. Look at the picture right below that.
So that's like the initial stages. If continued, it would disintegrate.
Or the end stage where it's not, the signal isn't quite strong enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you look at figure 60A, you see where the columns, the outer columns of WTC2 go into the ground. And you see where the aluminum cladding is peeled open. And it's that same toasted aluminum color.
Yes, it is. What is that, kind of a bronze look?
And that always jumped out at me when I saw that, because it reminded me of the aluminum in my vacuum chamber. So it has that bronze color.
Uh-huh.
And if you look on the picture to the right of that, C1A, it's that hole in the street that's just outside of WTC2. You see a evaporated, or it appears to be evaporated, piece of steel beam.
Okay, in the foreground?
Yeah, in the bottom right of that picture.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. It's just kind of withered away. We've heard a lot about the, you know, Swiss cheese and so forth beam. And this seems to, you know, look familiar.
You know, there are a couple of beams in the WTC-1 airplane gash, allegedly caused by an airliner, where these beams look artificial. I thought it was they had been photoshopped initially, but they could be the consequence of some kind of Hutchison effect weaponry, couldn't they?
There's a lot of interesting similarities, including if we go to page 2, where if you go to the very bottom of this page, you'll see there's a little inner menu, and go to JJ2.
Okay, let's see. JJ2, I see it down here at the bottom, yes.
Or at the very top. And if you scroll down there, you know, we have the boat video again. Then there's some still shots from the boat video where you see the fire dancing around. And if you look at the row right below that, figure 78, 79, 80, and 77, all of these pictures were taken within 1 minute because it's the same time on the webcam. These pictures were taken just after WTC2 got its hole.
Wow, yeah, that's a so-called second hit.
It's 45 minutes after that, and this is before either tower has gone away. What I see interesting here is there's no smoke coming off that fire that just seems to be dancing around on that car.
So that may be one of these cold fires of a Hutchison effect.
Yes.
And it's very unusual, a strange-looking fire, isn't it?
No smoke coming up, and notice how quickly it changes positions.
Yes. It really is. Each picture looks like a different fire, although it's in the same place, so it's the same fire, but the shape is so dramatically different each time.
Yes, it is. And if you go down further to figure 81, it's a large photo, looking down Church Street, we see paper that's not burned, and we see aluminum cladding with a fire at the end. And in figure 82, we have a firefighter walking through that fire.
It's like the firefighters don't find the fires hot.
They just
walk right through, chomp through them, and these don't spread the paper like you would believe. This paper is pretty dense on the ground.
And there's no smoke coming from this fire.
And they're smokeless, too. This is not your ordinary fire, is it?
It's unusual to see this, but then, you know, imagine a year later reading about the Hutchison effect that there's such fires. It's perfectly normal.
You know, when I think back here a couple of years ago, I knew about the, we'll call it the roundish vertical holes in Building 6 in particular. And I said, wow, what could have caused that? That should have been a big tip-off to me, that we need to go look at the physical details of the WTC that morning. And then, as a result of your work, we've got this incredible expansion of anomalous effects to explain. And here along comes the Hutchison effect that seems to match up so well. You're listening to the Dynamic Duo. This is Morgan Reynolds, and we will return after the break with more from Dr. Judy Wood. I am Morgan Reynolds, guest host today for Jim Fetzer, and I'm here for our last segment with Dr. Judy Wood, And I call her the leading physical scientist researcher on 9/11, and she's a PhD engineer. Dr. Wood, I want to read a little something from the Bible to you. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's the source of that idea, beating swords into plowshares. Now, you say that 9/11 was a new Hiroshima, where a new weapon of mass destruction was on display, and that accounts for what happened at the World Trade Center. Is there any way this weaponry, this energy weapon, could be put to productive use to improve the human condition rather than destroying people and assets like the World Trade Center?
Oh, that's the best thing to talk about. Yes. What we have seen in these pictures, and I think it's quite clear, we saw the use of a new technology. It doesn't matter, for the sake of what we see here, it doesn't matter who did it and how it was done, but that it happened.
It was done.
It was done. We see that it was done. And what was done could be used for amazing other things. I think everyone will realize that there's a tremendous amount of energy involved, but it took very little energy to make it happen. In other words, almost limitless free energy is available to us, and this demonstrated it.
So there wasn't five times the Earth's energy employed here to turn these towers and other outbuildings of the WTC to dust?
Nope. Where was the heat?
Yeah, there were very few complaints or reports of some tremendous heat there.
Actually,
it wasn't there.
There were witness statements that the dust cloud was actually a little bit cooler than ambient temperature. And there are no reports anywhere of cooked bodies.
Right, and yet we had disappeared and burning engine blocks, for example.
The people standing right next to them.
Right, it was like cold fires here.
Cold fusion?
Cold fusion. This brings us full circle back to Eugene Maloff and his book, From Fire, From Iron, what was it? No, it escaped me. Is it Ice to Fire?
Fire from Ice.
Fire from Ice, yes, thank you. And Gene Maloff was murdered under strange circumstances in 2004, and really perhaps the most well-known advocate of so-called cold fusion, or the idea of free or cheap energy. And energy, as we all know, plays such a huge role. I think a lot of GIs in Iraq say, hey, you know, here we are fighting and dying for, what, Halliburton and ExxonMobil? There's a lot of cynicism over there, and that's part of the morale problem. But energy is part of this whole global domination project that we've been led into post 9/11. What if there is, as it apparently is, seems to be from the WTC, a way to generate a lot of energy from very little? And that was the promise of cold fusion. But cold fusion was somehow discredited before it hardly got into the public eye or into the scientific community.
Well, what we saw happen on 9/11 is a proof of concept. So we know it's effective. We know it works. Let's put it to good use.
So there's something hopeful about it in an odd sort of way, where environmentalists and we'll call it consumerists or conventional prosperity-oriented people might be able to reach an accommodation here, where if you had cheaper energy, you could solve some of the world's problems in a sense that you wouldn't have to spend so many resources and wars over oil and gas, as well as having cleaner sources of energy, which is pro-environment.
But there's a problem there. If it's free energy, where's the profit? That means that the oil companies, you know, they go back.
Right. A lot of their assets become near valueless. But, of course, it wouldn't happen overnight either.
And maybe they could figure out better things to do with free energy, better things to build. Maybe space travel.
They would become something like the horse and buggy industry upon the development of the internal combustion engine.
Yes, in a way, this is like what we've been seeing happen to free energy is like saying the internal combustion engine is a hoax.
Yes, the horse and buggy industry, the leather industry. The leather industry, you know, at the turn of the century, 108 years ago, was in the top 10. It was one of the leather companies, no longer. So are any of the free energy people interested in 9/11? There is a movement. There are people out there who believe that cold fusion works, but has been dissed and suppressed and turned into a fringe interest, even though it is a real effect.
This new series is starting to draw a lot of attention from the free energy area. And that's why on my cover page in the announcement for today's show, I have a lot of links to the free energy sites and a lot of information on that, which I encourage people to look at, because we could have free energy.
I guess in the grandest vision of this, there could be an alliance, a political alliance, a common interest in the free energy movement and environmentalists, as well as 9/11 truth movement.
Yes, I think we should. We don't need to be spinning our wheels with food fights, but can look at what we have gained from this. It's already happened. Let's look at the benefits of what this new technology that we've witnessed being used is capable of. There's good things it can do. And that would sort of turn a bad thing into a good thing.
Now, Infinite Energy Magazine is one of the players here on the free energy side, isn't it? That's a resource.
Yes, and I've got a link to that on my homepage in the top of the news section in the announcement for today's show.
So, it goes back to the nuclear, splitting the atom was an enormous energy release that was used for warfare. Nuclear power is now used to power military craft, as well as supply electricity. So that's been harnessed in certain civilian examples. So the same could happen with this kind of directed energy weapon. Dr. Wood? Well, might have had a technical glitch there at the end. This is Morgan Reynolds, your guest host, and you've been listening to the Dynamic Duo. We thank you for listening, and hope you come back to the Dynamic Duo again.